Do you remember the song, "All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth"? Jeannie will remind us. What fun! Such innocence, such wistfulness, such trust that wishes will be fulfilled. As a child, of course, Christmas was a big time of anticipation, a time of anxious waiting. I imagine it's still similar. Presents were so very special. In my child's time frame, my birthday 6 months prior was forever ago. Those presents, if there had been any, were forgotten. The lead up to school and Christmas time was about it for new clothes in our household. Christmas was a very big deal. At Christmas, we might even get some toys or other such desirables along with the clothes. It all sounds so trite and nostalgic as I say it, but that's really the way it was. Christmas was extra special. So much so that my brother and my sister and I spent a lot of time dreaming about what we wanted, and even more to the point, speculating about what we would actually get. We snooped around the house for Mom's list, or better yet, the presents themselves. One year I found them, and I found the list. It must have been close to Christmas Eve, because it was mostly there. Seemed to be obvious, or I remember it being obvious, as to who was getting what. And you know, it was a huge disappointment. It didn't fit what it was that I thought I wanted, and now I had to pretend that I was surprised and happy, since I probably wasn't any better at pretending then than I am now. I can't imagine that Mom was fooled for more than maybe a split second. I never did that again. I don't think I ever even looked for them again. It was too painful. I learned all too soon that I didn't get all I wanted at any Christmas time. Sometimes what I received was something close to what I wanted, but sometimes it wasn't close at all, or I chose to think it wasn't close. I had to learn to deal with disappointment and even disillusionment. A while back, I found a Sally Forth cartoon that captured my attention. Preteen daughter Hillary is sitting with her somewhat alternative friend, Faye. Hillary is checking out the video game catalog, seeing what to ask for this Christmas, she says. Faye is taken aback by all this. Man, this stuff is expensive. Hillary asks her, "What are you going to ask for?" Faye is more practical. She says, "Money's kind of tight at home, so my mom and I usually make each other gifts. That's how I got into painting and writing songs in the first place." Faye sings and plays guitar, and Hillary is a bit envious of her talent. So all of this makes Hillary reflective. "Wow," she says, "you just sucked all the joy out of the holiday for me." Hillary had assumed that her friend would be disappointing by not getting great stuff. Certainly that's how I felt some 45 years ago when I realized the waiting wasn't worth it. The joy had gone, sucked out but by my own disillusionment. Somehow, though, I bounced back the next year just as eager as ever for Christmas. Ever hopeful I was. I'm curious about this thing called hope, and how it reemerges despite disenchantment, disillusionment, and more. Maybe especially because this year The dark days have me gloomy too. Some moments I have trouble seeing the hope that used to come so easily. Now, at least this month, I am searching for that miracle of hope. I don't care whether it comes as longer and brighter days or something more subtle. I just know I need some hope. Something to keep me going in these dark days. Something to keep my light lit. Reverend Mark Bellatini, minister to our church in Columbus, Ohio, wrote a piece called The Miracle of Hanukkah. You will remember that Hanukkah came about after oil consecrated to celebrate the rebuilding of the Jewish temple, which was deemed sufficient for only a day, lasted much longer, for 8 days. It was a miracle. The miracle is not that oil lasts, writes Mark, but that our hope lasts despite disappointment. Baruch atah tikva. Blessed are you, hope. The miracle is not that fire illumines, but that we grow brighter. Baruch atah zohar. Blessed are you, brightness. The miracle is not that people tell ancient stories, but that people dare to live their own stories. Baruch atah midrashim. Blessed are you, stories. So I ask now, how do such miracles happen? How can I make my miracle happen? How can I resurrect my hope? Another colleague has something to say about this. Chuck Gaines writes, moments. I have probably lived more than half the Christmases I shall ever see, and I know now that I won't get everything I want. When I was a child, it seemed so easy. My affluent parents filled my stocking and gave me whatever I asked. The loss of childhood came with the discovery that the wrapped packages I tore into were distractions from what I really wanted. In my youth, I never asked for, but I expected, immortality. A dying mother who told me, "If you ask for anything, make it good health," taught me something about that illusion. I never asked to be God either, but I expected to be able to control life so I'd never be hurt or feel sad or afraid. Experience with living has confirmed the fact that I can't make everything come out all right, no matter how hard I try. So I'm learning to accept the darkness without being so afraid that the lights will go out. I never asked to be perfect, but I expected peace on earth and a place where hunger, poverty, racism, and ignorance would be eradicated. With half my Christmases over, I know that now that it won't happen in my lifetime. But I still dream, only with a little more patience. What's left for Christmas? In spite of uncertainty, of my immortality, my inability to have it all, and of living in an imperfect world, I still have my moments. Times of love from family and friends. Times of truth when it cuts a fine edge. Times of hope when I believe, in spite of it all. And these moments provide enough warmth to temper the cold that would otherwise make me callous, bitter, and resentful. The moments, these few moments, bring Christmas cheer, for in them I understand the darkness. From them I know that I can still start some small fire and see the fires of others around me, so long as I breathe and believe in life. Merry Christmas. Chuck reminds me to notice the small moments wherein I can find hope. The joy of a hockey game I attended out of duty, not anticipation, but had a great time, even if I didn't score a goal. The phone call to my cousin in New York State, who says she just might come to visit in February. A solstice celebration that happened despite booking problems, with warmth and light and good friends and food. A chance call from another friend. These are all reminders, moments, that I am indeed blessed, that I do have reason to hope, that I do remember what it's like to anticipate great things in this dark time of the year. That's what Christmas is about, after all. Hope, renewed hope. I am grateful for those other fires around me, as Albert Schweitzer says, there are times when our own light goes out and needs to be rekindled by a spark from someone else. So I encourage you, be a light for each other. It is the care for each other that is the greatest gift we can both give and receive at this or any time of the year. We are each other's miracle. We are each other's light and hope. That's all I want for Christmas. That's why the light we let shine matters. Someone else might need us.